Welcome back, folks. It's Cairo Nights, and I'm Saul Spady, just filling in for Jack Stein this evening. Of course, you're the audience, and you're going to be weighing in on the next conversation because it's one that is more serious than ever in the city of Seattle. Homelessness is rampant. It has been rampant for almost my entire lifetime, but the last decade, it has been a state of emergency that has not ended. So please give your thoughts at 888-973-5476, because instead of panicking, today on Cairo Nights, we are going to try to come up with some solutions. We're joined by Andrea Suarez from We Heart Seattle. She's been working at the core of the problem, going straight to individuals and trying to talk to them on the street about how she can help them get off the street, about how they can help her pick up the trash that we all see, and in general, just trying to make a difference at the root of the problem. Andrea, thanks so much for joining Cairo Nights, back-to-back nights, and thanks for being willing to talk about solutions. It's a bold thing to do.
And who would have thought that one would become so vilified for doing something with your hands differently and for the greater good of the entire community? So I'm glad to be here again. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you know, I will give you my Star Wars joke. We're not paid for this promo, but Obi-Wan is coming out pretty soon on Disney Plus, and there's this iconic moment where, you know, Obi-Wan and Darth Vader face off in the first ever Star Wars movie, and, you know, Obi-Wan says, "Strike me down, Darth, and I'll be more powerful than you can ever imagine." And I've kind of, like, taken that attitude ever since The Stranger first wrote an article kind of vilifying me about wanting to help with homelessness, wanting to create new ways to create housing in public-private partnerships. I've realized that, like, they can't really strike us down. We're going to be more powerful than they've ever imagined because we're actually trying to do something. So for whatever it's worth, Andrea, like, and with We Heart Seattle, realize that every time they try to stop you, we all learn more about what you're doing and how powerful that is.
That's very true. And while I want to work with everybody and get along and build bridges and unite, it is true that every time I am vilified for picking up trash and helping somebody get into housing, I'll share a funny story with you that was yesterday. Actually, it was heart-wrenching, but I actually raise more money. People are like, I want to be with the person that's actually out there, boots on the ground, picking up trash, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just trying to do something physical, action-based. And so, yeah, it really is true. You actually make the organization grow and scale and by attacking us for no reason. And I say the controversy is actually manufactured, because it comes from the fringe and it just makes no sense. And it's unfortunate, but then at the same time, very fortunate. It also means that you're probably doing something right.
I appreciate that. And I think you are doing something right. I want to do something about talking about the solutions, because I believe that we're spending upwards of almost, I think, $100 million in Puget Sound and County on homelessness. I see an organization like yours that is, I would assume has received less than maybe $500,000 in funding, if even that. And you've helped 100 people get off the streets. Have you thought about how the work that you're doing could be empowered and catalyzed by city government versus currently, and you sent me this voicemail earlier today, and I think we might play it on a later segment, but the city government told you they don't want you to take part in their day of service because you actually approached the encampments, which my joke would be they don't want you to take part in the day of service because you actually are trying to solve the problem.
It really is eye-opening that, and I joke around with this with my boards, like, you know what? We should stop picking up our phone, because that voicemail from the mayor's office is gold. Like, you actually said, don't go within 20 feet of a camp and don't pick, you know, how backwards are we devolving as a society that we say we no longer knock on the doors of our neighbor, whether it's our housed neighbor or unhoused neighbor. We're creating this division, we're dividing community. This is exactly where volunteerism plays a role. You vote for the backyard you want every day by volunteering. We've been volunteering every single day. So what's a solution, Saul? Volunteer. Get your own boots on the ground and come out and pick litter. Everybody can just start with the trash. Maybe you're not comfortable picking up certain trash or talking to people that, you know, you haven't met yet. But I also say courage and pushing through a little bit of your fear is what's needed in this state of emergency. If we got hit with a hurricane or an earthquake or a God forbidden bomb and everybody was around town with their legs blown off, you wouldn't walk by and say, that guy's scary. I don't know him. I don't know how to help. You wouldn't ask whether you're trained or certified or if and when and who is funding you. You just do. See something, do something. Get your hands involved with this crisis now. To answer your question, I raised about $300,000, spent about $150,000, put $25,000 of my own seed money in, and I'm not a wealthy human being. I have a job, but it was that, for me, that was the somebody needs to do this. And it was just about the trash. And then I realized the community and volunteers need to be a part of the outreach as well to help be a part of the solution. So I'll put it back to you on that note.
I mean, for me, I've been most worried about what I would call is the opioid addiction crisis that I've observed, right? I realized about 5 years ago that, you know, and something we've all realized, we see these documentaries that, you know, all of America suffered from an opioid addiction crisis. It struck rich, it struck poor, you know, all races. And then I kind of came to the conclusion that there were many cities shoot up that wouldn't let you camp outside, that wouldn't let you kind of, I would say, pursue the worst side of what addiction is. And then you have Seattle, Los Angeles, Denver, Austin, and Honolulu that were very lenient, that were very kind in many ways to kind of the troubles of addiction. But the problem with that level of kindness is it doesn't actually face what the Doctors of America have written, which is you might need 6 months of rehab to get sober. And then we exclusively give, even if you've committed multiple crimes, optional rehab. And so, you know, I've settled into the idea that we need to create some form of new level of but it's kinder if possible. It's rehab based. It's about continuing education. It's about getting money in people's pockets while they're in rehab so that when they come out, they can better serve their community and kind of be on a pathway to. This is almost impossible to get into either through the options we have now, which is not going to jail or jail. And for what it's worth, that idea I labeled farm jail in an art about, and that's what made me like the worst person. So you can never blame me because you didn't write about farm jail.
Well, and yes, of course, it all boils down to the lenient laws and lenient policies, theories, harm reduction in our progressive cities that have gotten us in this hot mess, which getting into this as a litter picker, I never thought like I am in the belly of the beast of this crisis, and it's addiction, it's mental illness. It's lack of community. It's people not trusting they actually have a path forward they can trust that would put them back out into the streets. Everybody would accept some form of treatment if they knew it would work and they wouldn't relapse. Now, relapse is always part of recovery, but I've had so many people in the throes of their addiction say, I believe you, Andrea. I want to walk down that path, but go. The idea of getting discharged and not having a place to go and being out on the streets would be worse than me just sitting here in my current state high. So it's wrapping all of that like community programming sense of purpose. I will take people out on litter picks, send them to, you know, second chance employers. They don't have to really talk about their face their addiction, but at least they're replacing that level of intensity with something else. That's addiction 101 is like, maybe I'm addicted to salt or sugar, but what is something I can do to replace that? And for us, we provide this platform of just community volunteering. So we have a lot of people in the camps that get involved and they tell me all the time, I do less drugs, Andrea, when you come into my park. And if that's the progress I'm looking for, just a little bit of progress means a little, that for me is a win. The harm reduction theories are clearly not working. You know, deaths due to overdoses are up 500% in 2 decades. I mean, that's a fact. The number one death of 18 to 35 year olds is fentanyl overdose. Dogs are now dying on the street of fentanyl because now the powder's everywhere and they're licking it up. I mean, this is a crisis, and we should be treating it the same way we did Corona.
I mean, it is, and we responded to Corona with that crisis attitude, but that's the problem, right? We've been in a crisis. It's been a 10-year emergency and state of emergency, and we haven't changed. Have you ever thought about whether that state of emergency is a problem, and how would you reignite that feeling, right? Or think it matters at all that the city's been in a state of emergency, and it's just about the reality that we see in front of us?
Well, and I mean, I think that's just it, is continuing to reinsert that language into every conversation we have. This is a state of emergency. People are dying every single day on our streets. Excuse me, I just had a man die on me over the weekend because he got kicked out of his shelter. He was in his 60s, cold. He had issues with breathing. And because he took a puff of a cigarette in a shelter, an enhanced 24/7 shelter, mind you, you know, there's just got to be a middle ground of the approach, you know. And this poor guy, you know, died outside. I took his best friend, who's been grieving, to a women's shelter down on 3rd Avenue yesterday, and this I took her in. I gave her a bunch of donations. I've known her for a year and a half. She was ready to go inside. Obviously, she just lost her best friend, but she's like, stop enabling us. The people that are out on the streets all, like, every day, I meet another woman every day, another man that says, stop enabling me. Stop enabling me. And I asked a girl today, Drea, who I was smoking fentanyl in my alleyway in Belltown. I said, do you believe in safe injection sites? Safe injection sites, just, you know, man on the street pole kind of thing. And she said, absolutely not. I don't want to do drugs. Nobody wants to be out here. Nobody wants to do what we're doing and have to steal to do it. The government is the perpetrator. Stop with these stats. I mean, this is coming out of the mouths of the very people that studies and theories and ideologies are being inflicted upon. And they're like saying, F you, you're killing me.
I mean, you're getting to the very root of the problem that I find and I see. And I'll jump from Seattle to Los Angeles. I talk about quite often, but in Los Angeles, they created a law that if you are on food stamps, you don't go to jail for petty crime. And it was done from a, I would say, a good-hearted place. The idea that, you know, when you see somebody who's struggling steal, you don't want, you know, the hard hammer of the law to come down on them. But then that's been taken advantage of what I've called big crime, you know, mafia-level crime, which we've forgotten exists in the United States. And that's why you see people robbing trains with goods on them in large, large scale. And they throw the packages on the ground, they take what they can, and it's because they know they can not be hit by the justice system. At a certain point, we need to realize that the decriminalization of crime does not get rid of crime. Do we have about 3 minutes left here? What do you kind of think about that topic specifically, the decriminalization of crime and how it doesn't actually end at the crime that occurs?
Well, we all know nobody's getting arrested and stealing sandwiches because they're starving, right? There's 8,000 hot meals being pumped out of Operation Sack Lunch every day. Nobody has ever died of starvation in Seattle. So we can just stop right there. Sorry, in the state of Washington, I think I looked it up, like one guy in like 1910 actually died of starvation, okay? There's plenty of food. So let's table that. That's ridiculous. I live in Belltown. I walk 3rd Avenue every day. Every time I see somebody selling, you know, $85 of stolen scotch, you know, which I'm like, ooh, I really want to buy that right now, but I don't. Like, why did you just go into Target and steal those bottles? And the answer is always because you allow me to. I'm a fisherman. I should be on a boat crabbing. I have an education. I should be with my family, but I've been sucked into this allowing ecosystem. And now I'm on drugs and it's just part of their boots on the ground. It's their hustle. It's because they're allowed and they don't want to be coddled. They don't want handouts. They don't want tent side service. They want to be treated like adults and human beings and empowered and not enabled. And that is from their mouth. Please stop this crazy. They are mad at the government for allowing them. And they go, ha, 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 look at what I'm doing. You're killing me. You're making me a criminal because you're not enforcing a law. It's very simple.
It is very simple. It's something that we're going to continue to confront here in Seattle. I appreciate everything you're doing at We Heart Seattle. I think it's probably one of the most important movements in the city. Full stop. It's showing all of us who've been on the sidelines, including individuals like me. All I've done is pontificate, and I will say I've raised a lot of money for family homelessness, so I've done something, but I haven't been out there in a real manner, and that is going to be the answer. You are going to be the tip of a spear of action that the city is copying this Saturday, but that should continue on. And for everyone who's inspired by their day of action, realize that that day of action is a year of action for Andrea Suarez. Realize that is a constant effort to try to help the people who are in need on our streets. She has seen people who are passing away, who are struggling, and she has not stopped in any way, shape, or form. So we're all going to take our day, and that'll be good this Saturday. But please do reach out to We Heart Seattle and see what you can do to keep this movement moving. With that being said, we've got 30 seconds left. Is there anything you'd like to say to everybody listening? The floor is yours.
So thank you so much for the final. We Heart Seattle is hosting a litter pick tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It's the trash that's been overflowing into our highways where I-5 meets 520 East. It's been there for years. It's an abandoned camp. We're starting at 11. Go to my website, weheartseattle.org, to find out how to join. We also are paying staff, paying the homeless to help clean, scaling. We just started We Heart Portland. We want to be in every city. We want to be across the country for a more beautiful and safe place for all of us to live. So please come out and support us any way you can. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. These are the great ideas that we appreciate bringing to the floor here on Chiron. My name's Saul Spady. You were just hearing from Andrea Suarez from We Heart Seattle, and I'm just filling in for Jack Stein. Welcome back. It's Cairo Nights. My name's Saul Spady, just filling in here from New York City. If you're hearing some glitches in the matrix, in the audio out there, Shane is doing his absolute best, but we are struggling here with the internets, with applications, and you know, they're all lucky they're just getting the best of, Shane. That's all I gotta say. How are you doing, my friend?
You know, Saul, just like you, I'm just kind of keeping it together right now. We're just going to make it through this show, and then, you know, it's just all greener pastures from there, man.
I do love those green pastures. They definitely don't involve my sports gambling. Shane, I'm in another state that allows legal sports gambling on the phone, and I haven't been doing well, but I've decided I still like it because it's kind of fun to be able to watch the games and still lose. And, you know, I didn't go drinking last night. I watched some sports and lost some money. So maybe I should have had a drink. I don't know. Just a random corollary, a bit of a laugh. I did want to go to the text line real quick. 888-973-5476. A couple of different perspectives. One person says, We Heart Seattle is amazing. And then this is interesting, Shane. I'm curious your take. Terry in Shoreline writes, that woman was an idiot. I'm so sick of the shoplifter Ballard store. They steal from us to sell cheap for drug money. Thank you, Seattle City Council and Jenny Durkin, and now Seattle Council Mayor Harrell. Don't give folks like her your money. She is part of the problem. Obviously, she hasn't been hurt by all the druggy idiots. Off to bed, so we won't be able to respond to you. I think Terry has missed Andrea Suarez's goal, because yeah. I don't think she's trying to empower the people on the street at all. And keep them there. I think she's trying to get them sober. I think she acknowledges that many of them are struggling, and she believes that we need to do more to actually enforce our laws to help those individuals. Is that your take too, Shane?
I mean, my take is that, Terry, you should just pay a little closer attention, because when she was talking about the enabling of people on the streets, she's not enabling them. She's giving them an incentive to help clean up and make it a better, cleaner, nicer sanitary environment for not only them, but for all of us regular folks as well, too. And, at some point, we just can't just try to force them to do it. We got to provide incentives so they can get better. You weren't listening close enough, Terry. You got to listen a little closer.
Well, and that doesn't mean that we don't believe in enforcement, right, for those who have committed crimes. And Andrea does as well. And then another take from Canine Guy writes, go ahead, have fun cleaning up. It'll be back the same way next week, guaranteed. And here's my response. This is actually what I wrote back to them. I love writing text messages back. If you want me to write you, text in 888-973-5476. Yes, very, very true, Canine Guy, but better to start and try than to just walk by and do nothing. Even one day is an improvement on no days of cleanup. The answer is We Heart Seattle 365, with real funding versus just individuals donating via their own pockets. And I feel that very strongly. I do believe empowering Andrea with more funds is the answer. I could run for office, as one person texts in, but I could also just meet up with her and try to create a fundraiser for We Heart Seattle. I think there are maybe thousands of people who, once they realize they can support We Heart Seattle and can see a difference on the streets, would start to give. And if she can get if with $300,000, she can get 100 people off the street. And I'm always big on math, because I'm always trying to stick it to my math teacher that told me I wouldn't have a calculator in my pocket. And now I do have a calculator in my pocket, which is really cool. And so I don't need to. She's spending about $2,600 per person she gets off the street. That's a great return on investment. That's something that we should be just dipping back into time and time again until it starts to cost even $10,000. I just really believe that we should keep trying to make a difference and keep listening to people like Andrea Suarez, because she is, as KP Karen says, an amazing person, and she's trying to actually do something rather than just lip service. And it's funny, Shane, because obviously we're on the radio and all we do is lip service, but like, that's what I'm trying to do with this radio show. It may be glitchy, but it's a live, authentic take on what I think we need to do, who we should be partnering with, and how it can be done. And that's the best I can imagine. The 425 writes, it's just also hard to see this city decompose the way it is. I don't know the answers. It just makes me very sad when I think about it and drive through it every day. I don't know how to help, as I just drive through it to my back and forth. And then they write Oyster Boy, which I kind of dig.
That's a cool name. I like that.
It is. It is. I would like to. I don't know if we can do nicknames anymore. Oh, we can. I'm going to name them Oyster Boy on the text line, because whether I'm the Oyster Boy or they're the Oyster Boy, I'll tell you this, Shane. The world is our mollusk.
Yes, it is. Ain't it?
Ain't it great out there? Oh, goodness gracious. Larry B. has a message. By the way, Lenny, my cat is still watching the radio when you talk. Belly up to the radio. Larry B., keep up improving Seattle by who you partner with. Right? And who we partner with matters. I've seen it time and time again. The city of Seattle spent about a decade investing what I would call the wrong partners, people who insist that more money is the answer. And that just... I just don't think that's the case. I think we need better politicians. We need more sophisticated conversation. And more than anything, we need to realize that this complex problem is what I just said, complicated. And so not every solution will work. What will work is trying multiple things, observing what is right and wrong, and then investing in what is most effective. If we find that giving somebody a free apartment doesn't work, but giving Andrea Suarez money does, that's the $2,600 per person we should be spending. Shane, how much longer do we have on this text message segment before we have to set everyone adrift to those scary commercials?
Oh, well, you know, it's really funny. This weird little sound is just coming out of nowhere. We got about 30 seconds or so.
Oh, you're playing me off like the Oscars, man. Don't do that. This is Cairo Nights. I'm going to be back, though. There will be more Cairo Nights. My name's Saul Spady. I'm filling in for Jack Stein. You out there are the audience. So text in 888-973-5476. Be like Oyster Boy. Make this show yours. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Shane, I'm watching. I checked in on the Golden State Warriors game. It's not going good for me. I need to get out of the sports gambling. I decided I've in the segment. I know last segment I was pro sports gambling. I'm now off of it on this segment. I think it's a vice and I have a problem and I should solve this.
Oh, you think? Well, I think your first problem was putting money on the Warriors. Why are you betting on such a garbage team?
No, I didn't. It's far more complicated than that, Shane. I didn't bet on the Warriors. I bet on the over. That's good. Mm. I bet on Luka Doncic to get a double-double, which like seems valuable. And then I decided to take a flyer on Spencer Dinwiddie because I've always liked his name and he's been pretty hot lately and needed to score 12 points. Anybody can score 12 points in the NBA. That's easy, 12 points. It's just like you blink and you get 12 points. He's got zero points and it's halfway through the third quarter. Vegas, you got me again.
Get you every time.
Every time, Shane. The text line gets me as well, by the way. Text in 888-973-5476. There's nothing I love more than reading other people's words. I'm a radio show host, for goodness gracious. Hi, Saul and Shane. This is from Jim. I think people who are texting in that have a problem with Andrea need to understand that in King County alone, we're spending $100 million a year on the homeless crisis. $2,600 per person removed from the streets via kind efforts sounds like a bargain to me. Jim, you're one of the smart ones, Jim. We mm-hmm. appreciate you. Your perspective is on point and what we're looking for here. It's just that is good news to me. I feel like if Andrea can do what she's doing with $300,000, that's my good news of the day, because we can maximize that. This actually reminds me, like it really does remind me, Shane. I remember back when I created the No Child Sleeps Outside campaign and I partnered with my mom, Fawn Spady, and Dick's Drive-Ins as her sponsor, and we raised $250,000 for Mary's Place. And at the time, I think Mary's Place was a low level seven-figure charity, and they were maybe they had 100 shelter beds, and they were spending maybe like $10,000 per bed over the year. And I was like, man, that's a steal of a deal right there. We gotta raise a lot more for them. And then we created No Child Sleeps Outside, and I feel like we could create a We Heart Seattle digital gala and you know, reach out to hosts like Dorian Monson and Jack Stein, people who are passionate about making a difference. And like, what could we do with $1 million? What could Andrea do with $1 million? And that is good news. If we can find people that are giving us great return on investment, they should be highlighted, they should be celebrated, and they should be given more funds. And it is truly concerning. It makes me happier than that mollusk I was talking about earlier, or clam, hard to say, that Andrea is being vilified. And this is kind of rude, but Shane, it's because I'm being vilified sometimes for my solutions on homelessness. It's because Brandi Cruz is being vilified for trying to get the truth out there. It's because Jason Rantz is being attacked because he's reporting on how we don't have enough police. It's we're in good company if the citizens, you know, the tweeters, the at large, those little birds out there, if they dislike us in Seattle, that is a good thing. We have been anointed. We have been chosen to lead the lost rational opposition on this battle against truly, you know, I wouldn't call it authoritarian, but it's a level of blind idiocy out of our government that is just truly hard to grapple with and understand. I wrote back to a text messenger on this topic, and I'm trying to find it here because I always like sharing my text messages. This is with Oyster Boy. I wrote back, yes, we've grown a lot, and what is worse is we have been bad stewards of said growth. We've had incredible growth in our region, but we've had politicians that were anti-growth, politicians that didn't want to build enough affordable housing, politicians that were afraid of private-public partnerships and actually working together to get out of this. And because of that, that's why I call myself a pro-growth conservative. I'm not really a Republican in a national way, and I'm not a Democrat in a Washington way. I'm extremely progressive. I'm pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, pro-cannabis. But I can never support the anti-growth policies pushed by Washington and Seattle Democrats. Over the last 20 years of my life, I am not on their team. I do not want to be a member of their party. Their party stinks. But I'm not a big fan of the National Republican Party either. And so we are just lost here in this great in-between place. And that is okay to be lost in the great in-between place. It's okay to be apolitical and to be a We Heart Seattle supporter. It's okay to sometimes lose faith. I have to admit to everyone there, it's been 10 years working on homelessness. I have lost faith many times. I've wanted to give up more than once, but then I meet somebody like Andrea and I realize the work that I did was worthwhile because she continues it on in a better way than I could have ever imagined. Talking to all of you is worthwhile because maybe I'll spark something in you that will grow to something bigger than this year, Cairo Nights. Nah, no, Shane, it can never be bigger than Cairo Nights, let's be honest.
Oh, no, nothing can be bigger than
this.
This
is the end all and be all of all radio.
Oh, it is the most premier radio show in the Pacific Northwest from the hours of 7 to 10 p.m., if you don't know.
If you don't know, yo, I've heard you've got quite a Canadian accent, but we got to just say sorry because, you know, this segment here is coming to an end and you might want to take a little bit of a break out there and get some poutine and gravy fries, you know, those real good cheese curds. But maybe Joe Biden will let you across the border just this time, but bring your loonies. Either way, put your loonies away. We're in the United States and we got dollars. You've been listening to Cairo Nights. Venmo me if you want to send me a dollar. Or just, you know, keep listening. That's good enough for me. Text in 888-973-5476. My name's Saul Spadian. Well, I'm just filling in for Jack Stein this year evening.